Our scripture reading is recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 44th verse, and our Lord instructs us here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Right in the middle of the city of Prague, you will find a large statue to the great reformer of the church, Jan Hus, who lived in the 13 and 1400s. The day of his execution in that city square, the city marshal stood in front of him as he was condemned to die, tied to a pole. There were two large cartloads of hay that had just been dumped at his feet. And this young man, he was only 46 years old, right in the middle of his life, the prime of his life, was asked if he would take back his beliefs and his teachings. He had been standing up against many of the abuses in the church and had come to understand the beautiful doctrine of salvation by grace alone through Christ. And of course, as history records, Jan Hus refused to take back his beliefs and did not recant. And so the fire marshal gave the order, and the torch was dropped onto the hay. And as the fire began to burn down at his feet and ankles, I'm sure there were people in the crowd, hundreds of them gathered to watch, that were thinking to themselves, what in the world would cause a man to go through this? What would possess someone to be willing to be burned alive and to go through all of this pain and loss of life and to have your life cut so short? What could ever be worth it? The text before us gives us the beautiful answer from our Savior. By the grace of God, Jan Hus had come to find the treasure that was hidden in the field and the great pearl of great price. And Jesus uses these two simple images in our text to instruct us that about how faith, true Christian faith, finds value in the gospel of Christ. The unbelieving world looks at these same things and has a hard time understanding that they could have any value. The unbelieving world looks at the gospel like a barren piece of land that just seems to be worthless. It has no appreciation for what might be laying beneath the topsoil. And so the world laughs at the purchase of the believer. The world looks at the investment that the Christian makes in the things of God and just can't understand why in the world these things matter to us. Why is gathering here to hear the Word of God so important? The world ridicules the purchase. The world looks at this investment and just thinks that it is such a waste of time and money and energy. And it watches the believer make great sacrifices in his or her life and just stands on the side and smiles and says, "What an idiot." And we who love Christ must admit that we understand the ridicule of the world. Because down inside of each one of us is still that seed of unbelief and doubt that looks at the things of the kingdom of God and really wonders if this is all worth it. Are these sacrifices that I'm being asked to make to be a child of God, are they really going to be in my best interest in the end? Am I possibly going to be let down for investing in this piece of land? God often hides and buries the greatest treasure and hides them from the eyes of natural man. Think about how God often chooses to operate. He often takes what is the greatest, most wonderful thing and tucks it inside of something that doesn't appear to be so great according to the world's eyes. Think about his own son, how he came into the world, born in a barn, a bunch of animals around him. His first bed was an eating trough for cows. He was raised by a lowly carpenter and his wife. He never owned any property himself, walked around in common sandals, died the death of a criminal. And yet tucked inside of that is the precious payment for our salvation to get us to heaven. Think about the word of God, the preaching of God to the world. It's just a bunch of words going out there, and yet Paul says it is the power of God unto salvation. We think about the work of repentance that goes on in a person's heart, that little activity that makes you kind of prick with your conscience to realize the sin that you've done and the evil that you've done before God and that you could never get to heaven on your own. But then God comes along with the beautiful keys to the kingdom, that simple pronouncement from the mouth of a sweaty little pastor that your sins are forgiven, and faith grabs onto that and holds on to it. Think about the water of baptism, this little basin of H2O that gets put on the child's head, and yet God says hidden inside of that is the very thing that dresses us with the robe of righteousness for salvation. The Lord's Supper looks like just common food, but tucked inside of that, God has hidden the greatest treasure, the forgiveness of sins in the body and blood of Christ. You see, God often tucks and hides the most amazing, eternally wonderful things into stuff that appears to be so worthless to the world. And the eyes of the believer, the children of Zion, know the value of these things. By faith, they have been permitted to see and to understand that hidden beneath the topsoil that the world laughs at is the greatest treasure we could ever have. There's a TV show called The Antique Roadshow where people occasionally bring things that they find in their grandparents' attic or basement and bring it before a museum curator or somebody who's professionally trained, and the eye of that trained professional can often detect and determine a value to something that nobody else would ever have seen because of their specialized training. Where do you and I get this specialized training to spot a pearl of great price that everybody else thinks is worthless? Where do we get the knowledge of real estate to be able to know and to understand the value of the plot of land that the gospel is hidden in? Well, this knowledge, this insight, this training can come only by the work of the Holy Spirit. Through His activity in our hearts and minds, we suddenly now can see and understand these great treasures. And possessing this property that has the gospel now trumps everything else that we could ever have or get in life. When someone comes to faith in Christ and understands the ways of God's kingdom, all of the other blessings that they have in life, their spouse, their children, their property, their house, their career, nothing else trumps possessing the gospel. All of those things are suddenly seen in a lesser light, to have lesser value. And yet at the same time, isn't it interesting that those who do possess the kingdom of God go back and look at many of those same earthly blessings, and they also see them having an even greater value? We've been enlightened. Years ago, I was serving a congregation up in the Twin Cities, and there was an elderly couple that when they first got married, had owned this tiny little farm out to the west of the Twin Cities, far away from the development of the cities. And many of their relatives had encouraged them to sell this poor little farm because it didn't have much value, they thought, in their eyes, and they thought they could do better somewhere else. Well, suddenly, years later, as the development moved out to them, a large mall, which today is the Ridgedale Mall, was going to be planned and built right on their property. And through the selling of a couple times the portions of their land, today that humble little couple is set for life. The man in our text who finally buys and goes to possess that land and again goes and digs up that treasure, the day finally comes when he gets to hold in his hand what it's all been worth. And the day will finally come for you and me, the believers in Christ as well, when we will get to hold in our hands the actual eternal heavenly treasures that Christ has purchased for us. The thing that right now only faith can see. And so right now in your life, no matter where you are or what you plan to do, hold on to this deed, hold on to this title, because you do by it possess the kingdom. And not even fire at your feet is worth letting go of it. Amen. Please rise. Lord God, the Holy Spirit, we thank and praise you for giving us the eyes of faith by which we now see the wonderful blessings you have reserved for us in the kingdom of heaven. Help us always to possess and hold on to this wonderful gift and let nothing take it from us. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.